Here we go. The End Game is a series we've been doing over the last several weeks, a series on prophecy and times that we're living in, that we see right now, and how it relates. And we've been giving you some messages on that, some facts and figures. Let's look. Let's look at a little bit of a review. Now, if you weren't here with us, you can go online, get all the notes, do all that kind of stuff. You get the actual graphics that you see in the messages. They'll come right into your home through the computer. Bang. Without me, you can do your own Bible study. Today, we're going to look at the State of the Union. The State of the Union. What's that about? That's the state of you and him. Can you say that with me? The state of you and him. In the end game, if these are the last days, what is the state of you and him? Okay? Because we've looked at several things in this little series. Pop them up. Let's see some things that we've seen. We looked at, so far, the state of the world. Gave a very detailed message on history and a prophecy that that Daniel gave in Daniel chapters 2, chapter 3, also 8 and 9. The state of the world. In the last days, there's going to be an integrated world government. Do you see more now than any time in your life the world coming together as just one big world? Yes or no? Sure you do. You see that. The Bible actually prophesied these things would happen. Without getting into this prophecy too deep again, Daniel chapter 2 talked about a revived Roman Empire, I believe, or revived Europe. There are 27 nations now in the European Union, in what's called the EU. They have their own currency. It's called the what? The euro. Of course, these are things you just know. That's not the way it always was. It's only been about the last 10 years that a lot of this stuff happened. The Bible said, as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. There'll be a union together of nations in the last days. There'll be independent nations, but they'll still be together. And there's a lot of scripture on that, but we can't go back and re-preach it. Check out the notes sometime. We looked also at another message, the state of the economy. In the last days, there will be economic devastation. How do we know that? The Bible speaks of these things. Okay, are we living in the last days? I don't have a clue. All right, to be honest with you, no man knows the day nor the why. Jesus said that. Anybody that says they know, they're lying, because it doesn't line up with the Bible. I don't care who your favorite prophecy speaker is. We don't know if we're living in the last days. I tell you what, though, I can tell you what I feel. I feel like we are, okay? But I can't go on my feelings, all right? But I just got to preach the word and present it. In the last days, there'll be economic devastation. In Revelation chapter 6, we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse. One of the horsemen in this prophecy is about the economy. Look at verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand to weigh things. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. We gave a very detailed message on the state of the economy in the last days. That's what we've been seeing so far. Matter of fact, in the last days, a man will work a whole day just to get enough bread to eat. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches. You might think, oh my gosh, we're nowhere close to that. Well, no, not on your street. Where you live, maybe in America. But most of the world lives like that. I forget the crazy number. I can't remember, Raj, how many children die every minute in the world because of starvation. We gave you all the facts. Check out the website. You can get all that information right there for you. You can see it. Our world is... much of our world today is devastated today. And that's before this big economy thing has hit. So are we living in the last days? I don't know. Sort of feels like it. Could this be the end game? I don't know. Let's keep looking. We looked at a message on the state of the church. What will the church be like? So what will our world be like in the end game? What will the economy be like? What will the church be like? There were seven churches that Jesus sent letters to in Revelation chapter in the book of Revelation, there were seven churches. The last two churches, the church at Philadelphia, which means the love of brothers, and the church at Laodicea, which is the judgment of others. So I gave a message on the state of the church. What will the church be like in the last days? This first church, the church at Philadelphia, he says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No man can shut it. You have a little strength, and you've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know I have loved you. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So in the last days of the state of the church, there will be a remnant of the church or a part of the church that will be loving people, loving the Lord and loving others. Y'all got that so far? If you were here, I know this is a review. If you weren't, maybe bring you up to speed. But also in the last days, is every church going to be loving Jesus in the last days? Yes or no? No. There will be some that's going to love the Lord. There's no doubt about it. But there's also going to be folks that aren't loving God. And that was that last church, I believe, that Jesus gave a letter to. It speaks of end time church events, I believe. Verse 14, chapter 3, unto the angel of the church at Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth or I'll throw you up out of my mouth. So the church in the last days, what is it going to be? Where are you going to be? I believe we've got it right here in this building today. I believe we've got right in our midst today probably folks here that love others and love people. And we've got folks probably right in our midst today that are even right now judging me as I'm giving this message on the stage this morning. Okay? And certainly as this goes on TV or radio, that's going to be a picture of the church. Loving people or judging people. That's going to be the church in the last days. I believe that's the church today. We need to work real hard, help me here, on making this a place where we love people. Can we praise the Lord on that? Say, come on. Okay? It's really important. Okay? Loving people. Well, we did it this way back home. So what? Who cares? And what does that have to do with right now? Amen? You see what I'm saying? Get all bent out of shape. Need to watch that. Love folks. Reach out. Care. Today. Make this, if it's your last day, make it the best day that you can care for people. Last week's message was a doozy, the state of the family, a civilization in decline. We looked at a sociologist from, I think, 1947, Dr. Carl Zimmerman, and his great work that he did on the fall of the Greek and Roman Empire. And he gave us 10 things that we can see in history in the decline of a civilization, written in 47. We went one by one last week, and it sort of seemed apropos to where we're living today, didn't it? Say, amen? So, who knows? Who knows where the United States is headed, where our world is headed? Could be the end game. Could be the last days. It's certainly feeling that way. Keep going. Now, don't go to sleep on me. Try. Here we go. 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Does that sound anything like our disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy? Did you know not being thankful, being an ingrate, is a sign of the last days? Yes or no? Say. Unholy, without natural affection. Men and women will conceive children and just abort them as if they're just trash. Did you hear me? Yes or no? That's what that teaches. Moms and dads will have children and they'll be raising those kids. And you'll hear of grotesque stories and things that they do to their own children and abuse. It's horrible. That's what the Bible says will happen in the last days. Truce breakers. Folks get married, and just for the heck of it, they don't stick in there, and they just forget it. Who cares? No fault divorce. I'm out of here. See you later. Sign of the last days. Incontinent. People out of control. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Past national heroes. People that were great, that stood for God, will be despised. Are you listening? Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God. This speaks of a civilization in decline. That's what the Bible said would happen in the end game. Now, are y'all wore out so far? Say, that's just the intro. All right? Let's go further. Here we go for today's message. All of these things seem to point, say it with me, to the what? End game. Is it? I don't know. I'm just trying to teach. The Bible has so much to say about prophecy. We need to touch these topics from time to time. How does the end game, that is, the return of Jesus Christ and the unfolding of future events, how does the end game relate to you? How does everything I've said relate to you? Stay the world. Stay the economy. Stay the church. Stay the family. You can't divorce yourself from this. You're connected. Okay? You're here on this planet. Okay? How does this message that you're hearing from the Bible, how does this relate to you? His soon return, the events you see unfolding around you. What's your part? How is that affecting your life? What is the state of your union with Jesus Christ? and all these things that we've talked about, and all the Bible says about prophecy and end time events, how do they affect your relationship with Jesus Christ? You got the picture? What is the state of your what? Union. One more time. What is the state of your... Help me one more time. What is the state of your union? That's what we're talking about today. So here's what we did. Went through the Bible. And these are verses that many of you will know. But there are certain verses, and there's many more than I could put up today. We can't be here all afternoon, okay? But there are certain verses that are going to allow you to check yourself out. And by the way, at the end of this, we got a test. You're going to see a test pop up on the screen today. You're taking a test? Yes, you are. It's a pop quiz. How many hate pop quizzes? Didn't even know they were going to do it. Can't stand classes like that. Well, guess what? You're in class with Uncle Gary today, and you're going to have you a pop quiz at the end. And don't worry. I'm going to have it all on the screen for you, so you're going to get it. Here we go. All right? Verses in the Bible that have to do with Jesus' return, packed with things that affect our life and our relationship with Him. That's what we're talking about. So you can check yourself out. There's 10 of them. Let's roll. Here we go, Rod. Pop it up. What's the state of you? Can you say that with me? What's the state of you? That's what we're talking about today. What's the state of you? Here we go. Number one. Can you say that with me? Are you loving people? If this is the last days, if this is the end game, I believe we're supposed to live like that. I really do. I believe we should live as if Jesus could come at any moment. I believe we should live as if we could go to be with Him at any moment. I believe we should live as this is the last day we have on the planet. You'll never do wrong. You'll never go wrong by doing that. Okay? If you act like and live like this could be my last day, instead of thinking you got forever, you'll be a better person. You'll be a better Christian, better husband, better father. Okay? And that could happen. Jesus could come again, or you could go see Him. All right? So the question is this: what's the state of you? Are you loving people? Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the what? Say it with me. Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. How should we live in the last days? What should our state be? Here's what it should be. You should be loving people. You listening? Say, you should be loving people. You should care about your neighbor. Next time you get your mouth going out of whack because somebody doesn't do just what you think down at the store, why don't you remember this could be your last day? Why don't you love on them? Are you listening? Say, that time you think about inviting somebody to church, why don't you go ahead and do it? That kind deed that you could do to a neighbor, a family member, a friend, that act of forgiveness that you could extend, why don't you do it now? Say, are you loving people? Now, if you think you got forever, Jesus ain't never coming back, go ahead and be ugly to folk. But what if you're wrong? Are you hearing me? Jesus said, when I come again, this is important, that you're loving people. Look at the second one. Now, you're going to get tested at the end. Here we go. Number two, are you judging others? Are you judging people? Is that how you want to end? Say. Is that how you want to do it?
Well, so-and-so, she don't do what she's supposed to do.
And boom, you go and you're in the presence of the Lord. Is that how you want to go out here? Yes or no? Say. Aren't you sick of living like that? Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord what? Comes. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, He'll make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Listen, quit judging folk. Quit acting like that. Quit acting high and mighty. Guess what? Have you ever judged something wrong? Yes or no? You ever judged somebody wrong? Say, it was bad, but maybe it wasn't quite as bad as you thought it was. You see what I'm saying? One day it's all going to be known. If we're living in the end times, why don't we live loving people instead of judging them? Are you listening? That's what you ought to do. Judge nothing before the time that Jesus comes. I don't want to spend my last day living like that. A lot of churches are like that. We don't want that here. If you got aught with somebody, guess what? Get it right. Say that with me. If you got aught with somebody, get it right. And part of getting it right, a lot of times, is just saying, I forgive that. God forgave me. I can forgive that. Can you say that? I can forgive. Let's practice. We ain't got that down. I can forgive. One more time. I can forgive. God forgave me. I can forgive. See, wouldn't you want to be living like that? If these were the last days and are the last days, who knows? Wouldn't you say? That's what the Bible teaches. What's the state of you? Are you active? Number three in the test. There's 10. Are you active in your church fellowship? Look at what the Bible says. Every one of these have to do with Jesus coming again. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. There it is again. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more, say it with me, as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return approaching, the end times approaching. If these are the end times, it seems like I'd be more active, more faithful in church to do what I should be doing than any other time. Does that make sense to you, yes or no? You can check out the state of you by these questions I'm asking you. What is the state of you? Instead of worrying about the state of Miss Sue or somebody, what's the state of you? Okay, number one, number two, number three. And you're here today, so you know, you're feeling good about that number three one, ain't you? Here we go. Let's go. Number four, how can I tell what's my state of the union with Jesus? Certainly if he would be coming again or I would pass away and go be with him, what is my state of the union? Number four, are you remembering what? The Lord's communion. Y'all got that? Are y'all remembering communion? Did y'all know at Fellowship Church we have communion? When is it? The first what? Wednesday of every month. I've actually had people come up and ask me, do y'all have communion? Of course we have communion. We'd be stupid not to have communion. Amen? Why? Look at what the Bible says. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until when? Till he comes. See, if these are end times, last days, I tell you what, I want to make sure I'm celebrating communion. Okay? It's important. It's not some silly little sacrament thing we do. It's biblical. We show the blood, that the grape juice or wine. We use grape juice. Okay? That's a picture of his blood. The bread is a picture of his what? Body, which was given for us. This is important. We do it the first Wednesday of every month. I know some people work and things like that. My point is this. Does it matter to you? If you can't be with us on communion, there's probably other good churches that are in the body of Christ. You might could work out of town where you go do some work. That's important. I would think that's a good thing. Are y'all listening? According to the Bible. That's just one of the little things you can check off. How you doing? Number five, are you committed to living for Jesus Christ? 2 Timothy 4, we saw this verse a couple of times in this series. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, say it with me, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Repute, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Are you committed to living for Christ? Are you listening this morning? Today, I mean in season, out of season, at home, at work, wherever you're at, are you committed? I guarantee it, if I told you Jesus was coming Tuesday, you'd be committed, wouldn't you say? Well, start living like that. What I'm telling you, this won't hurt you. What I'm telling you today, this will make you a better person. This will make you a better child of God. These verses are in the Bible, I believe, to let us know this is how we should be living. Especially in light of the things that we've seen. The state of the world, the state of the economy, the state of the church, the state of the family. What's the state of me? That's my question. See where I'm coming from? Keep looking. Number six, are you responding to life spiritually? Look at the verse. Verse is several. Are you responding to life spiritually? The Bible says, the natural man receives not the things of God. Okay? They're foolishness unto him. Because these things are spiritually discerned. As a child of God, you have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God. to help you to be able to respond to life spiritually. What does that mean? What does God think? How many used to think in your life just what you thought? Say, what I think. Well, when God comes into your life and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you have the Word of God, guess what? What does He think? Amen? Isn't it nice now to be able, as a child of God, if you have different issues in your life, to be able to go, what do what God thinks on this? Amen? And then as you grow in the Lord and you start maturing in your faith, you can start to respond to life in a spiritual way and just not like the old you. Does that make any sense to anybody, what I just said? If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. This is a spiritual mindset. For you're dead. Your life is now hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, say it with me. When Christ, who is our life, shall what? Appear when He comes again. Then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Are you living life and looking at life from God's perspective, from God's point of view? Or is it all just about you? Well, I was raised this way and this is the way we did it. Are you ever going to change and let God start working in your life? Say. And start responding. Instead of somebody does wrong to you, you do wrong back! Isn't there an opportunity for us to respond spiritually? Yes or no? Say. Instead of it's my money, I earned it, I'm going to keep it, I'm not going to give anything, the church wants all your money. By the way, if you can't give it, cheerfully keep it, okay? But the bottom line is, you might just want to start responding to life spiritually and realize every good gift comes down from the Father, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's what the Bible says. And that anything you have, He's given you the breath, the talent, the ability. See, that's thinking spiritually. And that is, I want to return a portion to Him because He's been so good to me. And that way, when Thanksgiving rolls around, you won't have a problem being thankful because you saw it all year. Are you listening? Amen? Responding to life spiritually. Joy gets mad at me. I get mad at her. She does something I don't like. I leave you. I quit. Or she says that to me. Or we're going to respond to what the Bible says. Say. Hell or high water, I'm in. All the chips. Committed. Do you see what I'm saying? Responding to life spiritually. How are you doing on that one? Are you keeping score? And remember, don't keep your neighbor's score. Because that's number two. Don't do that. Amen? Right? Number seven. Are you keeping short sin accounts in light of the end times, in light of the end game, in light of prophecy, in light of what we've seen? Are you keeping short sin accounts? And now, little children, abide in Him. Say it with me. That when He shall appear, when He comes again, we may have confidence. Say that next part with me. And not be ashamed before Him at His what? Coming. If you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him. Here's the point. I just think you ought to keep short sin accounts with God every day. I don't think there's a reason in the world where you can't every day ask God to forgive you where you failed Him. How many think we fail God every day in some way? Can I see your hand? You know what? It'd be a good thing for you to do. Now, you need to mean it, not just make it some little meaningless ritual. But you ought to be a part of your thinking, a part of your vocabulary, a part of your prayer life, a part of your mindset that I haven't hit every mark every day like I ought to. And obviously, when something that you've done wrong, you know it's wrong, God brings it to your mind, confess your sin. What's the Bible say? If I confess my sin, help me. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us what? Of all unrighteousness in light of prophecy and end time events. Wouldn't you want to have a short sin account? Say, if He'll forgive me, why shouldn't I go ahead and fess it up? Say, instead of live under that what? Guilt and crud that just hangs over you and Satan just on your back all the time because you got this mess. Give it up to God. Keep short sin accounts. Amen? You'll be a more effective Christian. Number eight. Are you sharing Jesus Christ with family and friends? We're talking about the state of you. What is the state of you today? These are verses that talk about Jesus coming again, and they got questions all inside of them. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. Here it is. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That speaks of his coming again. Here's what it says. Keep yourself in the love of God. And watch this. And some have compassion. Make a difference in somebody's life. Others save with fear. Pull them out of the fire. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That means be concerned about your family and your friends. That you don't want them to go to a devil's hell. You don't want that. You want to have compassion on them. You think if you get mean and ugly with people, you're going to win them to Jesus? Say, cuss them out. Oh, I want to be saved. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Compassion. Commitment. A burden for your neighbor, for your family, for your children. Do you have that? Is that the state of you, or is that not who you are? Is that not a part of you? I guarantee it, if you really thought Jesus could come at any moment, or he could come tomorrow, you'd care about your mama, you'd care about your daddy, you'd care about your brothers, you'd care about your neighbors, you'd care about your kids. Am I wrong, yes or no? Of course not. We're not wrong. It's common sense. What's the state of your union? It's one thing to talk about how bad things are, but how's it affecting you? Is it just turning you sour? No, I hate everything. Or is it turning you on, man, to be a child of God and to live for the Lord? See, it can be either way. My mother was murdered 15 years ago this coming Thursday. Thanksgiving. 15 years ago. Shot with a 357 Magnum 6 times and left dead in the floor I grew up in. And I've got a choice. The choice is every Thanksgiving I drive home and I'm with my family and we celebrate my mother's life. Or we could go home and we could sit around talking about how evil that was and what happened to her and that was the worst thing that ever happened. Or we can continue living life knowing mama's on the other side, waiting for us, us motivated to do a good job for the Lord, to love our family, to be there for one another, to appreciate one another. It's all about your choice. You're listening? We all have bad stuff. Where you at today? What's the state of your union? Are you caring about people? Well, this happened to me, Pastor. If you understand what happened to me, that's why I don't care anymore. Listen, God can help you in that. You can really be something for God. Okay? Your light can, he says, let your light so what? Shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't take that candle and hide it. Man, put that candle up on the hill. When it's dark, especially like the world we're living in, if these are last day times, I don't know. Wow, look how bright that candle's shining right there. Amen? How you doing today? What's the state of you? Number 9, are you comforting others, especially people who lost loved ones? Do you spend time? Do you care about people when somebody they love has passed away? Look at this great passage on Christ coming again. Look at this. But I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in God, in Jesus will God bring with him when he comes again. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede those which have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. A wonderful passage of Scripture. Keep looking. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord when he comes again. Got it? Say. What's that say? Say it with me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. As it relates to Christ coming, end time events, do you comfort people? Do you comfort people with the Scripture? Helping them see perspective that your loved one who's died in Jesus, one day you're going to be with him. We can do that as believers. Can't we do that? Say. We can all do that, not just a preacher, man. Keep looking. What's the state? Aren't you glad the test is over? Woo! That was some pop quiz. You ain't took the test yet. It's coming. Here we go. We're just giving you the information. Here we go. Number 10. Are you patiently anticipating Christ's return? In the state of the things that you see going on around you, are you wringing your hands or are you going, even so come, Lord Jesus? You see what I'm saying? All this is awful and this is terrible. Look at that. Or are you saying, hallelujah, he could come today? Amen? Or you could go be with him today if you pass away. Are you anticipating being with the Lord? James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, say it with me, unto the what? Coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. The farmer waits for the fruit of the earth. He's got long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart. Say it again with me. For the coming of the Lord does what? Draws nigh. As you see these things, instead of getting depressed, are you responding to life spiritually? And is that making you anticipate his coming more? Does that make sense? All right, that's the test. How'd you do? Here we go, Raj. We're done. How'd you do? How'd you do? I certainly don't expect you to make 100. Aren't you glad there's grace? Amen? Aren't you glad there's grace with the instructor? Amen? With the master teacher? Let's look at it. You can download this online if you'd like. Roger created it. Download it online. You might want to send it to a family member or friend or someone you love, or maybe have a Bible study group with or something. What's the state of your union? Let's go over them. Here's the test. You ready? Number one, loving others. Answer, yes. Hope that's what you can say. Number two, judging others. Answer, say it with me, no. Number three, and by the way, stop right there a minute. In case you're here today and you think, well, I need to judge people because, you know, judging people, they can be doing things wrong and they need to be. That is not your job. You've been taught that somewhere to church. I was taught that. I was taught my hair wasn't supposed to touch my ears. And look what happened to me. You see what I'm saying? I had short hair my whole life. And then I get 25 and it falls out. If I'd have known what I know now, I'd have had hair down to here when I was 17. You see what I'm saying? Listen, I was taught, ladies, you can't wear slacks. Be honest. How many in this building were taught that? Raise your hand. You're not as spiritual. Would you lose that kind of mentality, that stupidity? I want you to see something on the test today. None of those dumb things we were taught that judge other people show up in the verses that talk about Jesus coming again. That's something we made up. Are you listening? I don't care how you can spin it any way you want to. This is the important stuff. Are you active in church? Pop it up. Yes. Are you remembering communion, the Lord's death and his sacrifice for us? Look at it. Yes. Are you living for Jesus Christ? Preach the word. Be sincere. Are you concerned about your Christian life? Yes. I hope that's what you should be able to say. Are you responding to life spiritually? Or do you respond like you always did and cuss somebody out? I hope you can say yes. Number seven. Are you keeping, or six, whatever, seven. Are you keeping short sin accounts? Are you confessing your sin on a regular basis? Yes. Are you sharing Jesus with other people in a godly and a loving and a compassionate way? Are you doing that? Yes, I hope you are. Are you comforting other people? There's people all in Englewood that need comfort, don't they say? Oh my gosh. Are you doing that? Yes. Are you anticipating Christ's return? Say it with me. Yes. What's the state of your union? Instead of worrying about my union, what's your union? How are you doing? In light of the world, in light of the economy, in light of the family that's in decline, in light of the church, you might have been disappointed by some church or somebody in church. What is your state of the union? Amen? You got it today? Come on, let's live. Let's work on the test. Amen? Let's see what we can do. The state of you and him.